Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
It is the Business News Hour, and with us in studio is our friend Wayne Bruns. Wayne is one of the tarot trainers and always brings us interesting opportunities and areas and thought processes about public speaking and presentations, and those are some of his, well, some of his specialties at Tarot. Welcome back, Wayne. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Michael. Always great to be here.
You know, boy, you do presentations. Everybody does presentations to small groups, medium-sized groups, your own team from time to time, and there's got to be some general rules to go with that. Would that be accurate?
I think that's probably the case, yes.
All right. So what about, first question, you know, we all go to these seminars or these things, and the presenter, sometimes small groups, sometimes large groups, starts the thing out by telling a joke.
Ah.
So what, is that?
We've always heard that, haven't we? You said, tell them a joke, loosen them up.
Yeah, right.
You know, we are very cautious about that. We probably recommend staying away from jokes. In fact, we've actually had comedians take our presentation communications classes, and they said they'd never do a joke at a business meeting. And here's why. There's a couple reasons why. First one is most of us don't tell jokes very well.
Right.
You know, and if you bomb right off the bat, that's the first and probably the last thing they're going to remember about you.
Yeah.
And the second part is, you think about what jokes are. They're primarily making fun of an individual or a group of people. And you may have done the best audience analysis out there, but you may say something that about someone's son-in-law's spouse that you never knew about, and you're going to offend them and take them off track, and they're not going to see you as a genuine person.
What if that joke is self-deprecating?
No, thank you for that, Michael, because that is a very important one. There's a difference between humor and self-deprecation and jokes. Humor essentially is something where we tell a little bit of a joke about ourselves. And you don't want to go too far where you discredit
right.
your credibility, but you want to also be able to take that opportunity to kind of connect with your audience, let them see that you're a real human being and things happen to you just like it happens to them. So humor is better, jokes is different.
Sure, and that is a way then to connect with your audience.
Very much. Developing that rapport is so important, doing that connection with them.
We're talking with Wayne Bruns, ladies and gentlemen, from Tarot International, about presentation skills. Who does presentations?
We would suggest almost everyone does presentations, and we call it communication skills because it's not just a matter of being up on a front of a stage with 500 people. It could be around the conference room table. It could be making a presentation to your CEO or your supervisor, your manager, or even to your family members or your church groups or your social situations. Those make a big difference because how you communicate says a lot about who you are and how people perceive you in that communication.
I have a great friend, and I wish I would take his advice more often. His name is Desmond Adams, and Desmond used to tell me all the time, he said, Michael, if I'm not 10 minutes early for an appointment, I'm late.
Mm-hmm.
What about starting meetings and presentations and those kinds of things
on
time?
I'm glad you brought that up because so many people are having a problem with that. I mean, having an issue where we're starting time late. We would agree. Be there early. Be there maybe an hour early to make sure you're prepared for everything.
Yeah, sure.
But what do we do? Oftentimes, we get to that meeting. There's three or four people who aren't there. It's 5 o'clock. It's supposed to start at 5 o'clock. And we say, you know, there's a couple more people coming. Let's go ahead and wait a few minutes. And what have we just told the people who are sitting there with us?
You don't count.
You don't count. Your time isn't as valuable as the other people. So what happens the next time you have a meeting? Those people now are going to start being later and later, and you're going to develop into this vicious cycle where you're not going to be able to keep people on time.
What happens if the late person or the person that's not there yet is a key player to the event?
That is a sensitive issue.
Yeah.
What if it's your CEO? What if it's your leader? What's the person who set up the meeting's not there? You want to take some cautious steps here. You don't want to get yourself in trouble, but at the same time, you want to try and be on time. If you happen to know the person has another meeting right before that meeting, maybe touch base with them ahead of time and say, you know, I know you have a meeting leading right up into ours. If you're going to be late, what would you like us to do? Should we ahead and proceed?
Good idea.
Set some precedent. Sometimes you don't know that, though. And so our recommendation is maybe what you can do is ask your audience, ask the people in the room, you know, I know everyone's here, but Joe, Mr. CEO, is not here. What do you think we should do?
Hmm.
So what we've done essentially is given them, the onus is now on them and not on you.
Got it. All right. Technology that sometimes works or doesn't work when you're in a presentation. I did this just a couple of months ago. I showed up and had my laptop, all the stuff, and the projector was up there, and all the stuff was ready to go. And all of a sudden, as Microsoft people said, update, coming your way. Ouch.
You know, it happens to all of us, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And when you least expect it. Our thoughts is, first thing is, don't acknowledge it. Let's say you're going to another location and you have someone sending you a projector and the projector doesn't arrive. Don't say, you know, Susie was supposed to send that projector. You know, I don't have it, so I'll do the best I can. Think about what you're going to do in case that technology is not there. Never acknowledge that you're even going to have that technology. We always recommend when we do our presentations to have a flip chart.
Yeah.
So we actually draw our slides on there. Just don't tell people we are not supposed to have that information there.
And you know, that's another thing, because we are so consumed with technology. Mm-hmm. You know, and I am a real stickler to having backup after backup after backup, you know, the paperwork, all of the stuff, just in case, an extra flash drive, all that other stuff, just in case something breaks down.
I'm glad you do that. That's a very important thing. We always have backup on backups, because you need to plan for what's not going to be planned. You know, it comes to your attention and you don't know what to do. Just go ahead as if there's nothing wrong, and during a break, take a moment to go ahead and fix things if you can.
Got it. What about breaks? Mm-hmm. How many breaks should we – I mean, if I'm going to speak for 90 minutes on a topic.
Right.
Do I need to give breaks now?
90 minutes is really kind of that break-even part, we're going to say. We recommend – and this is really built on research from the military – and we know that we can only listen and digest information for about as long as our derriere can sit in that chair.
No.
So we want to do that about every 60 to 90 minutes. If you get beyond that, they're going to have a hard time listening. They're going to have a hard time learning and absorbing that information. Unfortunately, sometimes you get in situations where people say, you know, we don't have time for a break.
Yeah.
So what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to involve them in the process, get them to stand up and now and then.
And about that whole break thing, is it if you're going to have a break in the, let's say that you're on for 45 minutes, you're going to have a break, it's already in the schedule, okay? Mm-hmm. Is it a good idea, Wayne, to tease what's coming up next so that you keep the audience engaged?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that, Michael. So what you're saying is, what do we do in situation to lead us into the next situation?
Yeah.
And any of us who are broadcasters, you're familiar with this technique. You kind of lead things up. Newscasters do this all the time. They say, accident 235, watch next.
Yeah.
We're going to recommend doing the same thing.
Okay.
It builds some anticipation. It builds a transition for your people.
And to do that, you keep them engaged at the same time. All right. And also kind of wondering what's going to happen next. What about getting folks involved in that message? You know, when you're up there talking, that can be the loneliest place on the planet from time to time, when the spotlight's on you and you're having this conversation. How do you engage people without being too talkative?
Yes. I mean, that is a question we get a lot of times. And what we're going to suggest is try to involve something we call kinesthetic learning. Kinesthetic learning is learning by doing. It's all it is. You know, we do kinesthetic learning when we learn to drive a car.
Of course.
But what we're talking about here is try to get them out of that passive state of just listening for hour and hour and minutes and minutes.
Yeah.
Get them engaged. Get them to do something. Have them stand up and write something on a whiteboard. Have them interact. Have them ask him questions. Have a discussion group. Say, you know, for the next 2 minutes, I want you to think about what you would do in this situation, and we'll come back. We're going to ask your feedback. All those things can sometimes be a physical manifestation of where you're beginning to get them to act out, or a mental activity. Even telling a story is very much kinesthetic. It gets them out of that passive state of just listening to facts drone on and on. But you have a story, they're able to engage so much more effectively.
I was just reading a book by a friend of mine who indicated, even in small corporate meetings or brainstorming meetings, it might be a good idea to sit in the round rather than at a square table with the head and the CEO up there at the front of the table.
Yeah, there's a lot more engagement in situation like that. I'm glad you brought that up, because when we're sitting in those classroom settings row by row, you don't have a lot of interaction. You don't have a chance to see people, to engage with them. Having a round table or even a chevron kind of situation where you can mix it up, where someone's presenting for part of the reason and other times you're actually interacting with people, is a really effective way to involve them. Sometimes you may not want to have a lot of engagement. We hope you do, but if you're only going to present information in a one way, It's fine to do classroom seating if you really want engagement, the more round or boardroom tables or ways you can see the other people is really more effective.
Wayne Bruns, ladies and gentlemen, Tarot International, one of the trainers there. And you guys do this all the time, don't you?
All the time and all over the country.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Tarot International comes by, we learn something new. Thank you, Wayne, for doing this.
Thank you, Michael.
Wayne Bruns, ladies and gentlemen, we will have links to Tarot International so you can see what they're doing. And by the way, the guys have been doing a great job with YouTube Live and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We have a live program every Monday morning, 9:03.
Impressive. All right, we've got to step on out of here. Tyler's given us the signals. Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer. The voice of Inside on Business in the News Hour is Jimmy Olsen. The program director for the radio stations is Patrick Wood. The liaison between us and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group is Jeff Delvaux. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett. For all those folks and our guests, my name's Michael Libby. We will be back, God willing, tomorrow at 5 p.m. with more of the Business News Hour. Till then, be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.